How's it going, Magic players? Welcome back to the Timmy, Johnny, and Spike Show.
Yay.
This is a podcast about Magic the Gathering from the perspective of people who play to win,
yep.
People who play to have some fun,
okay.
And people who play to challenge themselves.
All right.
I'm one of your hosts. My name is Joel.
And I'm your second host. My name is Aiden.
And we are excited because we've had a lot of cool things happen.
Yep.
Of course, there is the Theros pre-release coming up in just a couple of weeks.
I really like Theros so far. I can't wait for it.
Yeah,
Greek mythology and everything, so I really like Greek mythology and everything, and all the cards seem at least okay, if not good.
Yeah. Well, not all the cards. Some of them stink.
Some of them stink.
Most of them are good.
I like them all.
So we're going to do something a little bit teacherly, since that seems to happen a lot on this show.
Yeah, I guess so.
So me being a teacher, we do all of these standardized tests every once in a while. And the way we grade them is not the same as the traditional grades of A, B, C, D, and F. So we've decided that we're going to grade our magic cards here the same way that we would grade a standardized test. We're going to grade them with the following scores. They're going to be what?
Advanced, proficient, partially proficient, and unsatisfactory.
All right. So that'll be fun.
Yep. That'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. So we haven't prepared any of these in advance, so we're just going to look through the cards that have been spoiled thus far, which is a little bit more than half the set.
It's like 116, is it? Or is it still 115?
Maybe it's not quite half the set, yeah. So it's pretty close to half the set, one side or the other of it.
Okay. Do we want to take a look?
Yeah, we'll take a look at them. And then also tonight, we're going to be bringing you the recording of our recent adventures with our friends Ben and Ellen.
Yeah.
And with James, who came in as our first guest host on our very first podcast. He returns to our podcast tonight because we all got together and played with...
Cube.
Yes, we played a Pack Wars game.
Of Cube.
With Ben's Cube, which is a beautiful little box full of the rarest of magic cards because Ben is a level 2 judge. And then also we did have a chance to interview Ben a little bit. So
yep, you'll hear about that.
Those are all the cool things that we're going to be doing tonight. So we will get started with Theros spoilers.
Yay.
So
more Theros.
There are tons of spoilers. We're not going to waste your time just looking at all of the spoilers, but we're going to start picking through cards and deciding... what does Dissolve do? It's a nonsense spell. Dissolve was the latest one that was spoiled today. Number 116 of the spoilers. It is number 47 of 249. It is an instant counter target spell and scry one. And
it's a straight up better counter spell.
It's one and two blues. It's an instant uncommon. So yeah, it's just basically cancel with a scry. So,
I guess
which is
okay.
Which is fine. I mean, it's kind of playable.
I would play.
But there seem to be a lot of other ways to scry right now. So, I don't know that I would play this.
Yeah, I guess that's okay to say. I really do like the Omen Speaker thing.
Well, let's start looking through. Let's do this. We're on mtgsalvation.com and looking at the Theros spoilers. So we'll start with white. And then we'll go to blue, and then we'll go to black, and then we'll go to red, and then we'll go to green. And then we'll go to multicolored.
Multicolored.
All right.
Lions.
So anything in white that grabs your attention in particular?
Chain to the Rocks.
Okay. Chain to the Rocks. Enchantment aura. It's a rare. Costs one white. And it says, enchant mountain you control. When Chain to the Rocks enters the battlefield, exile target creature and opponent controls until Chain to the Rocks leaves the battlefield. That creature remains under its owner's control. So, what do you think?
I think...
This advanced?
I would... Well...
Proficient?
I think it's at least proficient. It's probably proficient.
Partially proficient, dude.
Yeah. I mean, you have to play mountains, but with
exactly.
All the mana fixing that came from Ravnica block, I mean, that's pretty nice. Like, all the shock lands that are red count as mountains... So, I mean, that could be pretty useful. And the fact that no one's really playing land destruction makes it so it's basically just an enchantment that sits out there.
So, what would you compare this to? What has the same effect?
Something like Journey to Nowhere.
Okay.
Journey to Nowhere is the same thing, except it costs one more to play, and it doesn't have to enchant a mountain. So it's slightly worse, but it's slightly better.
Slightly worse, but slightly better?
Yeah, mana cost-wise, it's better, but the fact that it requires you to have another mana means it's not as good.
I just think that the red-white deck is generally going to be a really aggressive deck.
Yeah.
At least that's my experience, is red-white is almost always aggressive.
Yeah.
And this just does not feel aggressive at all. This feels like... this feels control-y. And
well,
how often does red get to be control-y? I mean, red can be goofy, but...
Red can be control-y pretty often with its, like, one cast, like, lightning bolt to get rid of all your creatures.
Yeah. Red usually gives you the option of slam in the face too, and this
yeah.
is not. This doesn't feel like that. This feels like. This feels. Slow to me. I don't know. We'll
yeah.
see. But I'm gonna give it a partially proficient.
Yeah, I think I might agree with you. It might be proficient. It's definitely not advanced, but, I think the fact that you know, Boros is a really aggressive, guild, and you know if your opponent has bigger creatures, you can't really deal with that, but. You have a removal spell, that'll be better for you.
All right. Well, let's move on to some more white cards. Let's do a couple more. Let's see. We'll leave Hundred-Handed One to Ben because that's something that he's interested in, and he'll talk about that later on. What about the god, Heliod?
Heliod?
Legendary enchantment creature god. Indestructible as long as your devotion to white is less than five. Heliod is not a creature. And other creatures you control have vigilance and pay two and two whites and put a 2/1 white cleric enchantment creature token on the battlefield. So it's 3 and a 1 for a 5/6 that doesn't turn into a creature until you reach five white mana symbols. So all the gods have some similar stuff going on. This indestructible thing, the devotion. How does this match up to some of the other gods in terms of what you get for your mana?
I think he's kind of in the middle. All of them are low mana cost, high power toughness, but and indestructible, but they all have a devotion that requires five mana symbols in their color, and they all already have one, so it's basically four other mana symbols.
Yeah.
But I like his vigilance, but I think Purphoros is when a creature enters the battlefield, you deal 2 damage to each opponent. That's probably the most powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a 2/1. I think that's probably the most powerful activated ability. Purphoros might be okay because it costs one less and it gives you pumps to all your creatures. Like I remember it was like Boros Guild Mage. I can't remember the exact name of it. Sunhome Guild Mage. That you paid 3 to give all your creatures +1/+0 until end of turn.
Hmm.
And he does the same thing, but is less mana intensive because you don't require white. So you can play mono red and play the card.
Right.
And beat pace with it. I like Purphoros
a
lot.
Okay, but we're still talking about Heliod.
Yeah.
Which is white, not red.
Yeah.
Purphoros we'll get to. Well, actually, I don't know. We might as well say Purphoros. You going to give that proficient anyway?
I'm
going to give it advanced.
Purphoros?
Yeah.
Yeah, I give him advanced too.
Yeah,
he's pretty
Purphoros
good.
Is advanced. Heliod.
Probably like proficient.
It's fine. It's a good card. It's not. I'm not gonna go out of my way to play this other than in limited.
Yeah,
at this point,
really
I just don't
good.
See a place for it to fit into any of my standard decks. I don't think this fits into any like modern stuff that I can think of. I suppose it'd be an okay commander to try out, but I don't know.
Yeah, I like the commander themes of it.
I'd give your other creatures vigilance and give you some more creatures that I don't know. In commander, I don't know that you would use the putting a 2/1 white cleric enchantment creature token. That just seems a weak way to spend 4 mana.
Well, he could be in some sort of EDH clerics deck. There are those.
There is an EDH clerics deck.
I don't know a specific commander, but there's
listeners, contact us if you know of an EDH clerics deck.
You can look one up online.
All right, we'll figure it out. All right. There's the obvious one, Elspeth.
We already talked about that.
We've already talked about Elspeth, so we'll move on. Master of Waves.
Oh, yeah.
Green and blue, merfolk wizard with protection from red. It's a 2/1. So that's good because red's usually the one that's going to knock you off when you got a 2/1. Elemental creatures you control get +1/+1, and when Master of Waves enters the battlefield, put a number of 1/0 blue elemental creature tokens onto the battlefield equal to your devotion to blue. So,
very good.
Yep. I'm going to play this one with
Pyromancer.
Yep.
It'll be pretty cool.
It'll be ripping. I'm excited. This one's good.
Also, we forgot to talk about the white one, but the Nimbus Naiad, they basically have a bunch of nymphs. They have a cycle of nymphs for each color that are all commons, and they're
Wait, before you get on to those, is this partially proficient, advanced, proficient, or unsatisfactory?
Probably
Master of Waves.
Proficient or advanced.
I'm going advanced right now. I'm really liking this set generally, and I feel like this is a really good card and one that's an easy fit into a lot of decks. Okay, so
it's really flavorful too.
Back to the Naiads and Dryads and such.
All right.
So the Nimbus Naiad is a nymph. It's a common, and it does the bestow thing. So what is bestow again?
Bestow is it's an enchantment creature. Bestow can only go on enchantment creatures. This one costs 2 and a blue, and it's a 2/2 enchantment creature nymph. Common, and has bestow 4 and a blue, which means that you can cast its card for its bestow cost, and it's an aura spell with enchant creature. In limited, I really am going to enjoy these cards
I mean, it's limited's going to be slow anyway, and this is definitely an efficient way to handle it, is to basically turn it into an enchantment that gives it +2/+2 and flying, and the white one was pretty nice too. I think we talked about that last week.
It's the same cost, and it's also a 2/2, but it gives vigilance instead.
I think it was a Celestial Archon we talked about last week that gives it basically the Angelic Destiny effect.
Yeah.
So yeah, all the Naiads and Dryads, those are nice. Those would be great for limited. We're going to have to cruise through here. Anything else in blue that we should mention real quick? I don't think so.
Not really.
We talked about Thassa. We haven't talked about Erebos in black, so that's the black god.
Yep.
Indestructible devotion. Your opponents can't gain life, and if you pay 1 and a black and 2 life, then you can draw a card. So I like that.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't like paying 2 mana and 2 life to draw 1 card. At first, I thought it was 2 cards. And I thought that was okay.
It's fine as long. I mean, you're not putting more cards out of your hand onto the field to say draw a card. It's like it's already there. It's just a good use of mana that you've got sitting around anyway. So I'm okay with that.
I guess it's okay, but I just don't want to die because I needed to draw my cards.
Well, as of right now, I don't have a space for it in my decks. The decks that I'm thinking about building at this point are going back to a straight Golgari, a straight Rakdos, and I might try to rebuild a Jund deck. Looks like Jund could possibly work with
Exava.
Exava, right. With Exava and the Colonian Hydra.
Yeah.
Frank LaFour put a deck together that was pretty much along the same lines of what I was thinking about. So when Exava first came out and it's like $2 or $1 or something like that, I thought, you know, this is a good 4-drop that could possibly take the place of an Olivia Voldaren when she rotates.
Or
Falcon Wrath Aristocrat. And it's looking more like that might actually happen. So we did get some Exavas when they were super cheap. I suppose they're still pretty cheap. But we did get a nice foily Exava and held on to him, and this is the reason why, because we might actually use him.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's super foil.
Yep. Let's see, anything else?
Heroes Downfall.
Yes. So Dreadbore Part 2, it's a 1 and 2 blacks, instant, destroy target creature or planeswalker. a better Dreadbore?
Yeah, it's probably just a better Dreadbore. You can stick to one color. You can play it as an instant, even though it costs one more mana. So, yeah, it's just better.
I'll call it better Dreadbore.
Or Murder. It's the same thing as Murder, but you can destroy Planeswalkers.
Planeswalker as well, yeah. So
it's also rare.
I'm game for this. I'd say Proficient at this point.
Proficient.
Yeah, it's not going to break the game, but it's a great removal spell.
Hey, what'd you say about Erebos? It's great.
Oh, Erebos. Is Erebos the boss?
Probably partially proficient.
At this point, yeah, partially proficient.
Maybe proficient.
He'd fit in some decks, but he's not going in mine. All right. Thoughtseize is back.
Thoughtseize is advanced.
Advanced.
It's straight up. Yeah, really good.
We've already talked about Purphoros. Purphoros is probably the best of the gods at this point.
Advanced.
Stormbreath Dragon? Is that going to take the place of 13 Dragon?
Thundermaw Hellkite.
Thundermaw Hellkite.
I think this will not. Well, it will. Because even though it costs one less to do and it doesn't tap all your opponent's creatures and kill the small ones. It costs the same, but it's got one less power and toughness. But it does gain protection from white and monstrosity 3 for white or for 5 red, and it deals damage to them equals the number of cards in their hand when you become monstrous.
So you play this. If you're really lucky and you're running red, you play this turn 5. And you got flying 4 cost haste that can beat down white flyers. So that's okay. You got to get to at least turn, what? It's probably turn 6 or turn 7.
Yeah.
In order. No. You got to get to turn 7 or turn 8 or turn 9.
Yeah.
Or 10. Or 10 before it becomes monstrous. And by then, it's like deals damage to each opponent equal to the number of cards in the player's hand.
Not very many cards.
You
like
get one
damage.
Yay.
0 damage.
No,
maybe
it's not
like
going to take the place of Thundermaw. Proficient at this point.
Well, Thundermaw Hellkite was so good because of Restoration Angel and Lingering Souls were in there. And they were both white creatures, and Lingering Souls died to Thundermaw Hellkite.
Right.
With this guy in, he has protection from both of them, so he can already get through. Even though for one less damage. But
he can get through, but he's not doing a lot.
Yeah, plus he has Pro from the Chain to the Rocks. So.
So, partially proficient, I'd say. Maybe.
He might be proficient, or if he becomes super good and they print some awesome white card that totally destroys everything except for him because he is Pro White, then maybe advanced. But. All
right. Moving on. We got to do green. We've done Nylea.
And her bow.
I like the Sylvan Caryatid. Let's talk about her and then let's leave green. Plant creature that's hexproof and gives you 1 mana of any color. Costs 1 and a green. It's a 0/3 defender. Yay.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think defender decks will like that.
I think anybody who wants to ramp is going to like this. This is a great mana dork.
Yeah, he seems pretty good.
Yay, I like that one. Okay. Let's leave Ashen Rider except... Oh, wait, Sylvan Caryatid? Proficient?
Yeah.
Partially proficient?
Yeah.
I'm going to call it proficient. Ashen Rider?
Angel thing, I can't remember the name of.
It's worse than anything.
No. It even though it costs 8 mana and it's really like double white, double black, it's really powerful effect.
Yeah, and you'll never play it.
I will play it in EDH.
It's never going to get out. Well, in EDH, okay. You're building a white-black deck?
No, but I know someone will. Okay. And they're going to put it in some graveyard deck.
All right.
Cast it from their graveyard.
Partially proficient. It's an EDH card.
Yeah.
Fleece Mane Lion, a green and a white cat
proficient.
That maybe is a 3/3. So watch Wolf. Watch out because it becomes monstrous with 5. And as long as it's monstrous, which gives it a +1/+1 counter, so it's a 4/4, It's hexproof and indestructible.
Yeah.
Four that mana. Is good.
Yeah, 4/4 hexproof and indestructible for a total of 7 invested over a few turns is really good, especially since you get the 3/3 part of it out first, and then once you get enough mana, you can get the 4/4 indestructible hexproof thing, because he's almost impossible to get rid of then unless you have Terminus, and the only card in Standard that can get rid of it is Merciless Eviction, I think.
Yep. Advanced. So, this is good.
Well, I'd say Proficient. I don't know if everyone's going to cast him, but...
I'd play it. All right, and then... is there anything in here that we're going to give it unsat?
Some of the other stuff.
I'm pretty sure that Ashiok Nightmare Weaver Planeswalker is probably an unsat.
Well, there, I know that someone is going to make a Mill deck, and that will fit perfectly in it. But Jace is straight up better.
Yes.
I like her. I want to cast her and then exile the top 3 cards to someone else's library and piss someone off.
All right.
It'd be funny.
Well, anyway. How about the temples?
The temples are slow.
Yep.
And not as good as I want them to be. They should probably be like uncommon.
Yeah, that's weird that they're rare.
Yeah, I don't like them being rare because I'm gonna open them in every pack and then I'll not make any money off of the pack.
Oh well.
But then I'll open like what's his name? The new Planeswalker that we skipped.
Yeah, we skipped Zenagos the Reveler.
Yeah.
We'll come back to him next week.
And what? No, that guy is the best Planeswalker ever.
Yes, I know, which is why we need to spend more time on him. Let's deal with it next week.
Whatever.
Okay, next week.
Okay,
so
bye.
We are...
Bye.
No, we're not.
Bye. Okay.
Stop it. So... So we're going to sign off early for this part of it so that we can leave you with our adventures in cubing.
I won.
Yes, you won. You're very good. Congratulations.
No, I was just lucky.
Well, you did get some good cards. So we just played Pack Wars with a cube, and you'll hear all about it here in just a minute. So here we go.
Yeah.
Maybe not do that. So,
okay, I am here with Ben Bowers, the judge. Okay, so do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Ben Bowers. I've been playing Magic for around 13 years. I've been judging for about 8 of them. At the moment, I'm a level 2 judge.
That's pretty cool. So I have a few questions. First of all, what's your favorite card of all time?
It would be Mindslaver. It was when I started playing, it was the first card that I really saw that like fundamentally broke the rules. And the fact that a card like that could exist is very cool and really drew me into Magic.
That sounds fun. I kind of like Mindslaver myself. So, second of all, what do you think of the cards coming out in Theros?
So I'm pretty excited for it. Dragon's Maze and M14 I found not at all exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I also love Greek mythology, so seeing their takes on things like the 100-handed ogre, that when you make him monstrous, he can block 100 creatures. It's just cool stuff like that.
Yeah. I think it's pretty interesting. I can't wait for Theros. I love Greek mythology as well. I don't know, like, what's your favorite thing to do in Magic?
The things I like the most are just the interactions between the cards. You can have cards printed in 93 that Garfield came up with in his basement, and interacting with cards that this like professional group of guys came up with, and that somehow the rules have to contain all of those and like every possible interaction.
Yeah, so like You're basically like a Johnny, I guess. You love the interactions between the cards.
Well, kind of. I mean, Johnnies are more people who like combos, which I'm not a fan of. I mean, more, there's, I don't remember, someone came up with the term people who just like the rules. But I'm also pretty big into the, like, lore.
Okay.
Like, I mean, the story's kind of fallen off the rails, but back, like, during the Weatherlight saga, or during the kind of beginning after the 10th anniversary, before they redid all the planeswalkers, that kind of stuff.
All right. That sounds pretty cool. So, Joel, you have anything you want to ask him?
I just want to say thanks for bringing your cube, because we're going to draft cube here. We're not going to draft it. What we're going to do is play Pack Wars with cube. Yay! So, when that happens, we're going to pass the microphone around to everybody who pulls their 15, and then they can tell you what they got, and then we'll later on come back and let you know what the results were of playing. So this should be fun. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And that sound in the background was my dog shaking her collar. So, all right, let's do this thing.
Hello, I'm Anna. I'm playing this game for probably the first time. I'm going to tell you about the cards I've picked up. Okay. Don't listen, anyone. Should I just read them off?
Yeah, just read what they are.
Okay, this is called Olivia Valderin, and she's a flying vampire. Timely ring enforcement. Costume strength. Spirit monger. Pact of negation. Maze of If.
Oh. Okay.
Increasing devotion. Prophetic bolt. What? Pillory of the sleepless. Skin render.
Oh, 3 minutes on that count.
Dread return. Vampire lacerator. And two more, which will be brought to you by the lovely Ellen.
So you might remember me from another podcast, and Anna and I are actually going to be playing on a team because neither of us really know what we're doing. But I know that I have a Mox Pearl, and that's apparently something good, I feel like. I don't know. And then Ben, in his cube, also has included some cards that may not be necessarily magic cards, but that are cards that are near and dear to our heart. And we have a WoW card in here that is Leroy Jenkins. And so when I pulled that for our pack, I was super, super excited. For those of you who don't know what Leroy Jenkins does, in WoW, when he enters play, you exhaust all other allies you control. So for our case, it would be creatures. And they can't ready during our next step. But then you yell out Leroy Jenkins, and he has ferocity, which for our intents and purposes is haste. Yeah, so he's a 6-1. So he's not got a lot of, he can't take a lot of damage, but he does a lot of damage, and he's just kind of hilarious.
All right, this is Ben. I've got Golgari Signant, Soul Manipulation, Plated Geopede, Balance, Flames of the Blood Hand, Rend Flesh, Glimmer Point Stag, Woodfall Primus, Deep Analysis, Keldon Vandals, Hearth Kami, Simic Growth Chamber, Faceless Butcher, Preordain, and Enter the Dungeon.
Okay, so I'm James. I was in the first podcast. So I have a Wall of Omens, an Arid Mesa, some Wood Elves, a Strangleroot Geist, a Mire Boa, Black Knight, I have Edric, Spymaster of Trest, Beast Within, Molten Disaster, and Gutter Snipe. And then I set aside my cooler cards, which are Tarmogoyf, Underground Sea, it's an Alpha Land, Obnixilis, the Fallen, Letter Bomb, which is unhinged or whatever, and then Icy Manipulator, which is cool. So yeah,
I'm back. Okay, so the cards I have. Hold on. Okay. Set them aside. Okay.
Oh.
Okay, I have Goblin Legionnaire, Library of Alexandria, some lands,
Restoration Angel, Godless Shrine, Imperial Seal, Celestial Crusader, Figure of Destiny, Basilisk Collar, Rod of Spanking, Capture the Jingzhao, I think. Faith's Fetters, Solitary Champion, I think. Soltari, Grafted War Gear, Gideon Jura, and Hero of Oxid Ridge.
Hey, it's Joel. I have Loyal Cathar, Wheel of Fortune, Contagion Engine, Mizium Mortars, Swords to Plowshares, Stillmoon Cavalier, Terramorphic Expanse, Mondrinan Shaman, Soltari Monk, Wickerbow Elder, Looter Ilkor, Steplinx, Phyrexian Metamorph, Nivinarol's Disc, and Mana Crypt. So awesome. We're getting some fun. See ya. All right, so we're back. Aiden kicked my butt because he got out a Library of Alexandria and I didn't. So no, I was just waiting to get some sort of a like -1/-1 counter proliferate. Didn't work. All right.
So I played my game against Ben, which I won, write that one down because Ben always beats me because he's really good at Magic and I am not. Yeah, I won. Technically, I won twice also, which I will explain in a minute. So early in the game, I got Prophetic Bolt, and so I did 4 damage to Ben. And then I didn't do a whole lot for a while. and Ben played, what was that card you played? Enter the Dungeon, which you're supposed to play a mini game with the rest of your deck under the table, which almost caused us to like sleep in separate rooms because I refused to sit under the table. Luckily, Joel's amazing wife found us a smaller table to put on top of the table. And so we played and I won. So then I put 2 cards. I don't even remember what cards I put in my hand. I think I put a swamp in my, or I put a plains in my hand because I could not draw them to save my life. And really what saved me was I played Increasing Devotion and got my 5/1/1 humans out. And then Ben played some stupid card that made me get rid of all my tokens. And I was really irritated until I figured out that I could flash back Increasing Devotion and then I got 10 tokens. So I got those out and then I got Olivia Voldaren out and I took control of one of his creatures and then I stomped on him. And it was awesome. But now I'm going to let him talk about it.
I'm very sad that I lost, since Ellen doesn't really know how to play Magic very well.
Oh my gosh. Are you serious?
Aiden, you want to talk?
Okay, I beat my dad pretty bad. I think Grafted War Gear is impossible to beat. It's really, really good.
I just got beat. I was, like, we had 5 people, so I sat out first, and I just had to watch their game, and that was crazy. I saw him win with the Grafted Armor. Then he got the Library of Alexandria out. I mulled to, at the beginning, I mulled to 6, because I was just being stupid. I should have kept my first hand. And then I had, like, 5 lands and a Beast Within. And I was like, okay, whatever. And I kept it, and then I played, like, Tarmogoyf, and I was like, okay, I'm going to win now. And then, I Beast Within. He played, like, you know, something on my Tarmogoyf. What is it in? Faith's Fetters. He gained 4 life. My dude couldn't do anything. I'm just like, well, I'm going to Beast Within that. But but he actually had a Library of Alexandria, which I should have Beast Within. That was pretty stupid of me. But then, like, yeah. So I was being pretty stupid. Or I could have, like, waited and, like, got his, like, Grafted whatever. Or whatever.
All right, that's it.
Oh, can we also add that I beat Ben with only 14 cards because he didn't give me a full pack?
So Ellen wins with 14 cards.